Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 135 of Beyond the Supernatural, finally. If all goes well, there will have been no delay for you. This episode will come out just when it's supposed to come out. Everything will go like fucking clockwork for you, the dumbheads at home. For me, things have not been so easy. This is the beginning of a recording day, and, you know, at the risk of abusing my bully podcast pulpit here, I have today suffered a family emergency. Everything's okay, but, you know, it seemed like it might not be. A bit harrowing. And from there, everything else went wrong today. Late start, computer problems, I mean, everything. Like, I showed up to the recording space and there's something missing that I need to do my recording, with the result that I am getting started for my allotted monthly, mind you, recording time about 4 hours late today. Now, fortunately, I have changed my recording situation because my old podcast studio, the old trailer in downtown Portland, closed down. So I've switched to a method where I use the same Patreon money to pay for a hotel room that is near where I live, and then I make up the difference by having a couple of friends of mine chip in, and then we also play Vampire the Masquerade here in the hotel room to make all the ends meet so that the podcast can keep coming to you, the podcast listener. Those couple of friends will be here in like an hour, and after they leave, I will then, I guess, pull an all-nighter as though I am a college student again, and you are all collectively my professor who I'm afraid of and don't want to disappoint. All-night podcasting is just going to be a lot of fun, but the load is lessened somewhat by this page we're talking about today, page 135, because it's a very simple, kind of fun, dumb thing today. We are in the character creation section in the portion about attributes and so on. It's a lot of stuff that we've seen before in previous seasons of MDC, and in fact, the rule I want to focus in on today is one that has been in previous games we've talked about. We've just never really acknowledged it at all. It's really worth a mention here, though, because it is in a genre for Beyond the Supernatural. This is a very appropriate rule for more fantastical trench coat horror, and it goes like this. It's in the section for, quote, supernatural damage and hand weapons. And here's the thing. In Beyond the Supernatural, unlike in Ninjas and Super Spies, there's such a thing as supernatural strength. Now, if you listen to Season 2, you'll know all about supernatural strength. But basically, it's a superior kind of strength. Like, regardless of the number attached to your physical strength attribute, if it's supernatural, then you can lift more, you do mega damage punches to mega damage creatures in a mega damage environment, like rifts, and you're just all around, like, not strong, but super strong. This is the kind of strength that demons have, often. There's an optional rule for dealing with supernatural damage in melee combat. Quote, normal weapons are in danger of breaking when wielded by something with supernatural strength. A good rule of thumb is to assume a weapon is in danger of breaking whenever total damage inflicted exceeds more than 3 times the weapon's maximum base damage. In the case of a 2d4 sword, more than 24 points of damage might break it. Then it goes on to give rules for exactly how you figure this out, whether the weapon breaks on a given instance. It goes on to say, quote, heavy, sturdy weapons and very well-crafted blades, a master smith's katana, for example, can withstand more damage, do not roll unless damage exceeds 5 times the weapon's maximum damage. The dumbest and most wonderful thing on this page is that we get here enshrined in rules the very 90s fetishization of katanas, and not just katanas, but true katanas. Like, in the 90s, nerds had very discriminating taste in katanas. It was like nowadays, living in Portland, like the search for truly farm to table or like truly artisanal espresso drinks. Like, it's not enough for a little green seal to be on the container of beans. It's not enough to have assurances from a skilled and well-educated barista. I need to know this bean. I need to see it grow up. I need to know its family. I need to know not just your methods, but your philosophy as a barista to truly accept the authenticity of this pretentious-ass beverage you're presenting me. And in the same way, in the 90s, not just any katana will do. It's got to be expertly handcrafted by an ancient Japanese man on an ancient Japanese mountain with ancient Japanese methods. You got to use that folded steel. Everybody was real high on that folded steel back in the 90s When you were selling Master Forged steel back in the 90s, you were not just selling a katana, you were selling an experience, you were selling a lifestyle. And although it's a very small thing, the fact that that is enshrined in rules for Beyond the Supernatural on this page just delights me. If you are, for example, a physical psychic who wears a trench coat and has a katana and is a bit of a Connor McLeod or a Duncan McLeod, as you prefer, ponytail, no ponytail, your preference. You make the call. What matters is what's inside your trench coat, and that's a fucking katana. Yes, if you are that style of character and you have supernatural strength, because that's one of your physical psychic abilities, you may break just a regular weapon or even a mass-produced sword, even a relatively sturdy one. What you need to avoid your weapon breaking under the sheer force of your badass swordsmanship is a, quote, master smith's katana. So your katana needs a backstory. This is the deep 90s, this sensibility. Not only do I expect, if you are a real role player, for you to provide a 10-page backstory for yourself, I'm also going to need a 5-page appendix on the backstory of your master smith's katana. Certify this shit, because it matters. Mechanically, it matters. If you hit a demon with your katana, the question of whether that katana breaks in your hands depends upon my decision as the GM about whether your katana is a true katana. So I need to hear its story. Take me on a journey. If you want to do this kind of damage, and I know that you do, you need a katana that has, in the words of Walter Sobchak, fucking papers. I know this is small. I know it's sliced very thin, if you'll pardon the expression, but it is such a beautiful encapsulation of the silliness of high trench coat horror. This is some Highlander shit. This is some Kindred of the East shit. And I love it so much. I mean, this one rule, when I read this rule, it makes me think about Queen's video for Princes of the Universe. And when I think about that video, as you know if you know me, joy is mine. Anyway, I got about 15 more of these to do, so I will see you next time as we move from katanas to the inevitable consequence of katanas, copious bleeding, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zimbita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.